Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in on the radio down here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM or WYADonline.com, we're glad you all could join us. Also, those tuning in through online affiliates around the world, we're glad to have all of you all back with us as well. Our next guest is not only a repeat guest on Conversations Live, but he's someone I'm glad to call a friend. Author Dan O'Brien is back with us today. We're going to talk to him not only about his continued literary journey, but also his brand-new book that I recently devoured called Frightened, and also what it's been like for him to return with a main character we've gotten to know now for a few projects, Lauren Westlake. Now, if you're just hearing about Dan, I'll let you know at the end of our segment how you can stay connected with him and, of course, get the new book. But, Dan, hello to you, and welcome back to the program, man.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's been so great to watch you just grow and get huge. It's fantastic.
Well, look, I appreciate that, and I definitely appreciate what you've been able to do for readers, Dan. As I said, you know, Frightened is the new book in the Lauren Westlake series. It's the third book now in this series. I mean, let's talk about the reflection. What has it been like for you, Dan, to have created Lauren and to kind of see her evolve from book to book?
It's been really great. I took kind of a break from writing her for a while, and I realized how much I liked being in that universe and how much I wanted to kind of expand it out. And, you know, as you said, kind of, she's evolving, turning into a slightly different character like we all do as we, you know, age and maturate. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been fun to get back to writing about her again.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, the great thing about you as a storyteller, Dan, and I'm not just saying this because, like I said, I call you a friend, but because you really are a guy who can write anything. I mean, you've been able to give, I think, readers so many different types of books. You're quite prolific. I think that is no exaggeration to say. I mean, for anyone who types in your name on Amazon, they'll definitely find plenty of things to be able to read from you. Do you still have those moments that you say, wow, when you kind of look at what you've been able to give to readers so far?
Oh, absolutely. Every time I write, and I look back on it, I look at an edited copy, I look back at what I've written thus far, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe I wrote so much. Where did that come from? But yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So take us back then, Dan, for those who are just discovering you, and we're going to get back to Lauren here in a bit, but how did this all begin? I mean, when did you know that storytelling was that thing for you?
You know, it started really young. I was one of those, you know, weird kids that loved to read, and every summer I looked forward to the, you know, the reading, you know, programs they had at the local library, and, you know, I'd get my little stickers, and you got the little, I don't know if you guys remember this, it was, you know, in the 80s and the 90s, but they had the little sticker book, and you read so many books, you got a prize at the end of it. It was, you know, just such a joy. And it just kind of grew from there over time to, you know, loving to read and then wanting to maybe write books and then, you know, kind of leveraging that into both, you know, being an author and then, you know, kind of being a consultant and kind of just being able to do everything I want to do within the, you know, publishing in general.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned that because, Dan, for those who don't know, you've been able to not only, of course, to build your own career and to be able to have your own profession as a storyteller, but you've also been able to be there to help others as well. And it's been great to be able to see that. I mean, do you think that was just a natural thing for you that you wanted to be able to help other people to make the process a little bit easier?
Yeah, it was one of the things where I knew what I went through, and we all kind of make the same mistakes when we get into writing in the beginning. And I kind of just wanted to help people not make some of those mistakes that you don't need to make. I mean, there's plenty of them you do need to make to, you know, grow as a writer and to grow as a person. But some of it's just the minutia, the technical side of it. And then, you know, having the confidence to put something down on paper and then put it out there to get feedback and to put it out there to have readers. And, you know, I like being able to help people kind of embrace that and, you know, tell their story and tell their truth. That's always a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I have several of your books, of course, on my bookshelf, and, of course, some of the latest work you've been making exclusively right now available on Kindle. I want to talk about that aspect because I have to say, and our audience here on the radio side of Mississippi, Dan, know I was not a big fan of Kindle in the beginning. I am team paperback, typically, most of the way. However, as I've been traveling now the past few years, I definitely understand better why people, you know, enjoy having an electronic device, because it's definitely a lot easier and cheaper to travel with a Kindle than travel with eight books in your suitcase. Did you see that as a natural progression for yourself as well, that you wanted to be where you knew readers were in the directions that we were going with technology?
Yeah, it's exactly that. Much like yourself, I was always kind of like having that paperback and you smell that new book smell. And it just seemed like the things were increasingly digital and people wanted to be increasingly mobile. So obviously Kindle has its own advantages and disadvantages, you know, of course. But it did kind of seem like it was trending that way. And you kind of always want to be on the curve or as much ahead of the curve as possible, right? So, yeah, it definitely played a role.
Yeah. Well, and that brings us to where we are now. Now, the book, Bitten, of course, was available in print as well as digital. I love the way that book, I mean, really just kind of brought the reader in, and I want to say thank you to you for allowing me to blurb that particular book. That, at the time we're having this conversation, Dan, that particular book, Book 1 in the Lauren Westlake series, has 66 reviews on it. What do you think it was about Bitten that really seemed to resonate with readers?
You know, it always surprises me because I people really, really loved that book, and it was one of, you know, five or six I kind of put out at the same time, you know, toward the beginning of when I started publishing.
Yeah.
And I think it was just because it was fun and it was kind of immersive, and it portended a larger universe that I kind of never went back to. And to be completely honest, you're one of the inspirations for continuing the series because you loved Bitten so much, and I thought, man, there must be something to that if Cyrus liked it so much. And, of course, you know, a lot of other readers did, too. But I thought, maybe I need to come back to that and, you know, take that character and expand it out. But, yeah, I think people just really enjoyed the environment and, you know, kind of the universe it was in.
Right. And I think the other thing that's a big testament of you, Dan, which is why I'm so glad we can have you back on, and we'll have an expanded part of this for Conversations the Magazine, too, is that you show a lot of courage as a storyteller. And what I mean by that is that there are a lot of people who will tell you, it's definitely like our parents used to tell us, you find something and you stick to that. You have definitely not listened to that as a storyteller. You've kind of been willing to explore a lot of different things. Where does that courage come from when it comes to your creativity?
You know, honestly, it's just maybe just having so many ideas that only picking one of them, I don't know, kind of seems selfish. I kind of want to tell all of them. And so I kind of just, you know, go wherever the story takes me. You know, and occasionally it's a good and a bad thing, right? I mean, you're kind of presenting as this, you know, a lot of courage there, and I'm not sure that that's necessarily the case, because now I have a sci-fi book over here and a fantasy book over here and a horror book over here. You know, here comes the poor reader going, well, what series do I have to kind of focus on here? And it was part of the reason why I went back to Lauren Westlake. So I thought, well, I'm gonna kind of give readers what they want. Maybe, you know, give them something to chew on for, you know, several books out or several years out or something. And that's kind of why I came back to it.
Got you. Well, you're giving us two. It's funny to hear you talk about taking the break because, of course, Bitten came out in 2011. That's the Amazon, of course, copyright for it. And then after that, of course, the second book, for those who don't know, was Drain, which came out in 2014. And now here we are 4 years later, and you're giving us two books. You're giving us Frightened that I had a chance to read. We're going to be talking more about that. But also, you have another book you're closing out this year with, Burned. Did you find, like, when you came back from the break, when you came back to Lauren, that you realized you did have more stories you wanted to explore with her?
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to admit that I had a ton of stories I wanted to tell, and I probably should have come back sooner, right? Those four-year gaps don't portend well for me, right? But, you know, obviously there's Frightened and Burns on pre-order, but there's three more that are going to come out in 2019. And then I'm going to try to do about, you know, four or five novellas a year to kind of like season for readers. So that way they can kind of follow these larger story arcs that are part of the Lauren Westlake universe and, you know, Lauren Westlake mysteries. But, you know, year over year, they're going to kind of have this grouping of stories, much like binging, you know, a TV show, like, you know, binge read, right? So you can have these kind of novellas lined up, you know, four or five spread out by, you know, a month or two to kind of enjoy and kind of culminate in an overall story.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, you've given us something great to be able to read and enjoy for those who are traveling. Like, I've been doing a lot more since our last conversation, Dan. It definitely has been enjoyable to be able to have books like yours to read. We're going to now get into Fright in the New Book. But I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm excited to welcome back to the program today best-selling author and my friend Dan O'Brien. We're talking with him not only about his journey as a storyteller, but also what it's been like for him to share his love of writing with all of us, and then, of course, to be able to see the response. We are talking to him now about Book 2 in the Lauren Westlake series, of course, Drain, that came out, as I mentioned, in 2014. And then now we have this year, we have Frightened. Dan, talk to us about how you see Lauren have progressed from Drain to where we find her in San Francisco in the new book, Frightened.
Well, she's kind of coming to believe that the world is a little bit bigger than she always thought it was, right? So she's coming from this position at Bitten of being an FBI agent, investigating kind of a cold case, more of a true crime type of element. And then realizing there's this larger supernatural world, and Drain kind of opened that up a little more. And then Frightened puts her in this position of not only having to deal with a supernatural threat, but almost kind of an existential threat that's supernatural. And so it's kind of forcing her to embrace a part of herself that she's not prepared to yet, right? So she's finding herself in a changing world, and she herself is kind of changing as well. So it's kind of interesting because it forces her to use different parts of who she is and different skill sets, but still similar skill sets, right? Because obviously a lot of what makes her a great investigator, you know, makes her great at figuring out how to get over these supernatural kind of hurdles that are kind of laid down in front of her by these, you know, new, you know, meta type villains, as opposed to your traditional human villains.
Right. And we'll talk around that part, but I do want to say something. and then this is an interesting thing for me. One thing about you is the way that you have of putting words together, which I guess since you're a writer, that makes sense that you would have a way of doing that. But there's this one line that I made a note of in Frightened that I knew I wanted to share here, Dan, and I want to talk to you about. Do you have those moments of, wow, did I actually write that? And this is the line, and I thought this was so interesting. Well, actually, maybe I'll read two of the lines here, because then maybe it will maybe make more sense for the audience. The stranger didn't respond. Instead, he walked toward the ocean, appearing and disappearing like a scratch record. I'll just stop there. Those two sentences. I mean, I think that just that definitely makes you picture something. Do you have moments when you read back or hear back words like that that make you say, wow, did I write that?
Yeah, it's funny. I lamented that just the other day. I looked back at an edited copy for Burned, which is the book that follows Frightened. And I thought, wow, I wrote that. That's really not bad. Maybe I'm not terrible at this. Maybe just, you know, pretty good at this. But yeah, a lot of times I'll read something and be like, wow, did I really do that? And as with the Lauren Westlake, as I'm kind of sketching out, as I said, it's been, I guess, 7 novellas this year, and I'm kind of through the 4th one, I'll read something that's a couple novellas back, and I'll think, wow, did I write that? That's not too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And I bring that up because Lauren Westlake, of course, is the star of this series. But you are not afraid of putting her in precarious situations, for one, but also giving her, I think, equally as interesting either counterparts or antagonists. How much fun has that been for you to kind of not only see her evolve, but also see the way your other characters evolve from book to book?
That's actually been a lot of fun. When I first started out the series, it was going to kind of just be a, you know, an Alex Cross type of thing, right? Where there's just, you have this main protagonist and they're doing stuff. And I thought, you know, it'd be a lot more fun if I brought, you know, more personalities in, you know, different types of characters, different backgrounds to kind of give readers, you know, maybe someone else to identify with. Maybe not everybody's going to identify with Lauren, but they might identify with Billy or Chloe or, you know, Lawrence, whoever might, you know, ends up being. And then, you know, newer characters that kind of come and go throughout the series. But it's been nice for that reason, right? Because not everybody is going to feel at home with the same character. So giving a wider range gives, you know, a wider reader base a better way of identifying with the story, hopefully, right? Fingers crossed.
Yeah, and I think that is the cool thing. So, you know, for yourself, you know, as you kind of look at the work now that you've kind of, you know, back in your literary groove, so to speak, Dan, and being able to write these stories and to share them, what has been the biggest highlight for you? And this may be a difficult question, but is it more, I mean, I think sometimes the completing of a project can be as just as exciting as hearing the response. Have you found that to be true for yourself, that just the idea that you have finished and published another project is just as satisfying as hearing from a reader like myself saying how much they enjoyed it?
It is. I mean, it's great to hear that you loved it, because it's honestly that means the world to me. But it is really kind of fun that I'm still having fun with the characters. I always worry that I'm going to get so far into a series or so far into a book, and I'm not going to have any fun writing. It's just turned to a rote exercise where I'm just making sure things are put together in a way. And I'm not only excited about, you know, Frightened and Burned that I put out and the other ones that are coming out this year, but I've, full disclosure, I've already outlined, four, seasons of books, which, I'm out to like 20-something novellas. And I'm actually excited about those ideas too, right? So the whole trajectory of it, I might be more excited about than I've ever been excited about in my life as a writer thus far. So that part of it, you kind of hit the nail on the head there, getting back into the groove and finding that I'm still really enjoying it, it's been great. Because it was kind of a tough couple of years there, but I've liked coming back to it.
Yeah. Well, we're glad to have you back, Dan, for sure. Your voice has definitely been missed. Your talent has been missed, and we're glad to have it there. Not only, of course, for readers, but I have to say, Dan, I mean, in the world that we're living in today, I think people need to know what's possible. How does that feel to know that by your quote-unquote return, and I hate to make it too dramatic, but you're showing other people that maybe their best is not behind them, that there's still more in them to do in their own career or their journey, whatever that might be?
I love that idea, and that'd be wonderful to believe that people that felt that way about, a writer coming back to writing. Because I'm saying, not to, champion you too much, because I realize it's new for me, but, I look at where you're at and I think, wow, Cyrus is just getting bigger and better, and he's out there. He's not giving up on anything. And that gives me, a lot of kind of courage to get back out and be like, no, I can, revisit this series. And maybe not enough people have read Bitten yet, but let's get them excited about it, and I'll start putting out more books.
Yeah.
And like you said, the next chapter is the best chapter, maybe, and I like that idea.
Right. I think I appreciate that again, and I'm still working on it, just accepting a compliment. It's my nature to deflect. I don't know where that comes from, but it just is. So I will deflect once again and go back to Fright. But there's something in this conversation. There's something interesting about us having this conversation that ties in well with Fright again, and that is the idea of fear. Mm-hmm. There is this interesting line in the book, and I'm sure you remember this as well, that you wrote, "Fear is a powerful motivator. It can make you achieve great things when you choose to set it aside, or it can be the hindrance that holds you back." That was another passage I marked then and just said, wow. I mean, because even though it has its place in this book, it has its place in all of us. When you hear those words coming from you, spoken by one of your characters, what does that say to you?
I mean, it sounds like I'm a pretty good writer, but what it does most is there's some truth to that, right? I mean, the idea that fear is everywhere, right? You can choose to ignore it, you can choose to embrace it, you can choose to put it aside. But what you do with it is the most important part, right? Acknowledging it and doing something with it, and not just letting it linger like a specter that just follows you around all day, perhaps for the rest of your life. So it's interesting to hear my own words kind of spoken back to you. I mean, that's always kind of a strange sensation, especially would actually sound like you're pretty good as opposed to something that sounds like it was poorly written. I think there is a place for that in a society that's kind of, we're – I'm from California. The area that I went to college in is on fire in Paradise and Chico, and it's a rough, it's a little bit of a rough world out there. So, the idea of like where you put your fear and how you embrace it, it's interesting that I managed to smuggle in something that is kind of a truism into a story that's largely a horror book. And I'm a little disappointed in myself, this is a slide aside, because I kind of wanted it out by Halloween. It felt like it would be a good Halloween book, and I missed my mark a little bit, which was too bad.
Gotcha. Well, there's one more thing I want to say about this, and then I think this will make people more curious. That line that I read I'll talk around it too. I mean, so the line that I read is by a character we get to know as Eddings in the story, mm-hmm. and he says it to someone who most would look like as being the bad guy. I'll just say that. But I think what's so interesting about you in this book, Frighten, is that it shows that the bad guy isn't always what we expect him to look like, right? I mean, I think I'll use that as a lead-in as of Eddings. How did Eddings come to you? Because, of course, we're immediately introduced to him, but how did Eddings come to you?
Mostly because not all villains wear black hats, right? The idea that it's not black hats and white hats, this isn't an old cowboy movie. I'm always struck by that when I'm trying to either outline a book or outline an idea, because it's, I don't want it to be too simple, because life is never that simple. We'd like it to be, certainly, that you could just look at someone and be like, nope, that person's evil and that person's good. But it's always action. It's always behavior. It's always what you actually do that defines whether or not you're a hero or a villain. So Eddings was pretty much born from that idea. It's like, well, how do I make a villain that's a bad guy but doesn't seem like a bad guy? Right? So, in a way of talking around it, like, how do I embrace villainous activity without making him a caricature where he's twirling his mustache or tying someone to a train track or, something very, very silly. Make him something that kind of fear, but also be like, well, no, that's just a dude. that's just kind of a person doing bad things, but you don't always see him as evil. And I try to do that, throughout all of the books, right? Obviously, Bitten, that was kind of the entire premise of the original novel was, the bad guy really isn't the bad guy. It's not exactly what you think.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of why people liked it in the end. I agree. That's kind of an astute way to put it. That it's not always the villain's not always the villain, even if
right.
you want it to be.
Right. And I think too, how easy it is for some to make others the villain, right? Because we kind of see that play out as well. I also love that line. I said that was going to be the last character I talk about, but there's another great line in the book too. that basically, Lauren is told there's no justice to be found here. I think, that kind of in someone in her position who is looking for the answer, looking for the light, to be told that light is not going to be possible, that the win that people expect at the end, is not going to be the case. It has to be disheartening. I mean, when you kind of look at the world, I guess my question would be to you, Dan, after saying that is, how do you find the light for yourself? Because the world we live in can be seen as being pretty dark. What is it that keeps you looking for the light or seeking the light?
The idea that kindness exists even if you can't see it. I'm very fortunate. My wife Mary has been working on these books with me, and she's the kindest person I know. So it's usually pretty easy to find kindness. But when the world is dark, it is tough to find light. Often you have to be your own light. But I like to believe that even if you can't see it, even if you don't always witness it, there's kindness. Even if you have to be the kindness yourself. So that's how I generally try to imagine it. That ending, that's toward the end of Frighten. I was worried about that ending. I felt like that might not be the best way to end that. So it was interesting to hear you kind of, use that as one of the lines that you enjoyed, because I thought it might be a little too grim, right? kind of a grim way to resolve the storyline there. So it's interesting to hear it kind of spoken back.
Well, I think it's real, real.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is, it's kind of like in our lives, a win is not always a win, right? I mean, it's mm-hmm. not, it doesn't always feel like you want a win to look. I've been in that situation where a victory doesn't look like a victory, or at least the victory that I
exactly.
expected.
Exactly, yeah.
So when I read that, I thought, you have to be willing, and this is why, to be honest with you, the only reason why I chose that line is because I want our audience to know that maybe where you are is not where you thought you would be at this point, or by your doing your thing, pursuing mm-hmm. your goal, your dream, that profession may not be what you thought it would be like, but it doesn't mean that it's the wrong path. Just to keep on that
exactly.
path. Is that kind of what you hope people realize in a broader sense, Dan, that, Lauren's not going to stop because things didn't turn out the way she wanted. And none of us should stop in pursuing whatever we're doing because the outcome at the moment doesn't seem like what we wanted.
Yeah, exactly that, right? So you don't always end up where you thought you were going to, but you probably end up where you're supposed to, in the sense that your actions took you there and your goals took you there. And maybe you need to look at it in that light, right? It wasn't how you thought it was going to be, but if you're healthy and you're happy and you're doing what you love, then that's probably where you should have ended up. So, in a way, you know, Lauren, throughout the trajectory of her, she thought she was going to follow one case, and that case turned into something larger. And now she is very far away from where she was in the beginning. But in a way, it's she's moving toward the best possible version of herself. So, you know, you summarized that point really well. Because that is kind of the goal in the end.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, you're just setting us up for, as you mentioned, Burn, which is coming out in just a few weeks.
Burn's next month, and then you're going to get Awaken in February, and then Besieged in, what is that going to be, April? So there's plenty coming. Time to get excited.
Well, amazing. Well, like I said, Dan, welcome back, not only to the program, but also to the world that you have created, featuring a character that I have definitely gotten to love, and that being Lauren Westlake. Again, everyone, Dan O'Brien has been our guest. Make sure you all get the newest book in the Lauren Westlake series. It's called Frightened. Now, if you have not gotten the other books to get them in order, you can get Bitten right now. After Bitten, there's Drained, and then there's Frightened. All three of those are available now, as you heard Dan say. Coming out in just a few weeks, December 21st, is going to be Burn, which is book 4, and then much more coming in 2019. All of those are available through Amazon.com, and we're going to make it easy for you guys through those listening to us online. If you check the liner notes of this interview, you actually will find the links for not only, of course, the 3 books that are out, but also the 4th book, because depending on when you're listening to it, who knows, Burn might be out by that time. So if it's not out by the time you click on the link, you can actually do as Dan said, and you can pre-order it for yourself. That way it'll be sitting on your Kindle waiting for you when it's released. And Dan, let our audience know, how can they stay connected with you, man?
Usually the best, you know, you find me on Twitter, Author Dan O'Brien. You can find me on Facebook, of course. I feel like we're all on there. And then my website is authordanobrien.com. And I'm kind of out there everywhere, right? I'm always around. And I always love to hear back, you know, from readers if they enjoy it.
All right. So definitely make sure you all are staying connected with Dan. Dan, congratulations to you again, man. So glad to have you back and looking forward to our next conversation together.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Cyrus.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine, and we thank you, our audience, for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Dan, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media site, so head over to facebook.com/CyrusWeb, or you can go to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. If you click on the link there, you can listen to the show completely for free and share with your friends from there as well. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Let's make it a great one.